Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. April and Jeff Johnson were a couple who try to live by these words, even though sometimes it isn't the easiest thing to do. The Johnsons would be the first to tell you that welcoming someone into your home is the good Christian thing to do. But they'd also tell you that it can get old pretty quick. At least it did for them. Their happy, delightful marriage was nearly wrecked when they welcomed Aunt Jenny into their home. She came to visit one day and stayed for 12 years. 12 awfully long years. Always cranky, always crabby. Aunt Jenny complained about everything from the crack of dawn till way after dark. She was irritable and difficult every day. She never had a kind thought or a nice word for anyone. And for 12 years, the Johnsons lived with this. And then one day, Aunt Jenny passed on. And on the way back from the funeral, a miserable Jeff Johnson looked at April, his wife, and said, "Honey, if I didn't love you so much, I don't think I could have ever stood having your Aunt Jenny with us all these years." And April Johnson turned toward her husband, and she nearly screamed, "My Aunt Jenny? I thought she was your Aunt Jenny." The book of Hebrews says it this way: let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. We're not really sure who wrote Hebrews, but there's one thing of which we are sure. This letter to the Hebrews has an essential message for the church today, to you and to me. And what it says is love. Never stop loving each other. Stay on good terms with each other. Respect one another. Honor each other. Don't look down on anyone, but instead see them as they really are, as someone who is loved and valued and honored by God. Any idea how we do that? Well, we do it the way God does it, through hospitality. By welcoming and treasuring others because they are welcomed and treasured by God. And an amazing thing happens when we do. We see Christ in those who are around us, in the strangers, in the friends and people in need who come our way. We see Christ in them, and they see Jesus in us. That's what this letter to the Hebrews says to the church. It says, people matter. There isn't anything more important to God or anything God loves more than people. So handle them with care, whoever they are. Love and respect them. Treat them the way you would want to be treated, the way you would want your children to be treated, the way you would want your grandparents to be treated. And remember that God, their Father, our Father in heaven, loves them all far beyond any measure. Remembering who people really are can make a world of difference in how we see them. And how we see them makes a difference in how we treat them. I think it's the kind of difference our world could use right now. Because it makes a difference in our homes, it makes a difference in our relationships with the people around us, and in the relationships they have with the people around them. That's what it says in Hebrews. And then it says, honor marriage. And people who remember that their husband or wife is precious to God and honored and loved won't easily forsake them. And people who remember that their children are really God's children won't mistreat them or abandon them or abuse them. But they'll do just the opposite. Treat them all with the same respect. Love them, honor them, treat them like somebody. They are heirs of the kingdom, precious and beloved, the children of God. By doing this, says the preacher in Hebrews, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Jesus took it a little further in Matthew 25. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I had no clothes, but you gave me something to wear. I was sick and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. And the faithful would look at Jesus, at the king, and say, we didn't do that. When did we ever do that for you? And what will the king say? Oh, but you did. Whenever you did this for even one of the least of these, my sisters and brothers, you did it for me. Never stop loving each other. Respect one another. Remember who you are. And it will make a difference in the church. It'll make a difference in this church, in you and in me, and all the places where we live and work and play. One of my favorite storytellers was Fred Craddock. I want to share with you this morning one of my favorite Craddock stories. Fred was in a seminar out west when the sessions ended, and the host asked if anyone could possibly stay over until Sunday. It would be a big help to them because the airlines would give them a big break if you stay over Saturday night. And Fred said he could do that, and he did. And the little motel where he stayed wasn't close to any churches that he could see, so he went to the front desk on Sunday morning and asked if there might be a church somewhere to which he could walk. And the people behind the counter got in a huddle, and when they came out, one of them said, well, there's one about 3 blocks from here, and they pointed in that direction. And Fred said, do you know what kind it is? No, we don't have any idea. Well, that's okay. And he started walking in that direction. And when he found the church, he went in the small building. It wasn't anything fancy, but a building that looked like the church family had helped build it down through the years. And they seemed to love it so much. The church was warm and the people were friendly and kind. And Fred was a little bit early, so he took a seat in a pew. Not too many there, but it soon began to fill up. And by the time the service had started, there was hardly a seat left in the house. And as the worship service began, the choir came down the center aisle, and behind the choir was the pastor. And Fred said he was shocked. The man was a giant, about 6'7", a big man. Probably weighed around 325 or so. But the thing that really stood out, he said, wasn't his size. It was the way he walked. It was awkward. He just kind of had to drag one of his legs around, and his arms were long, and his head was a little misshapen, and his hair looked like he'd been out in the wind. And Fred said he watched him stumble up the 3 or 4 steps to get into the pulpit, and when he turned and faced them, he was wearing these thick, thick glasses. And there was a milky film over one of the lenses. And when he read the scriptures, he held the Bible right up to his face. And when he spoke, it was unusual. The muscles in his neck strained as he pushed out the words, as if he had just recently learned how to talk. But after a few moments, Fred said he lost all awareness of those things. The preacher read from 1 Corinthians 13, and his sermon title in the bulletin was, "But the greatest of these is love." And it wasn't like any sermon Fred had ever heard before. Fred said that if one of his students had handed in a sermon like that, he would have given it a C. The sermon wasn't well organized, it wasn't poetic, or even all that profound, but the sermon was pastoral. It was so full of warmth and love, affection and grace. He said it was a little firm, a little toe-mashing here and there, but the relationship between those people and the love he expressed and the love that came back from those people as they said quietly just captured Craddock's heart. He said, "I sat there thinking, what is this? What could this unusual-looking giant be? How could this unusual-looking giant be so full of love? I just couldn't understand it," he said. And Craddock thought of the children who have Down syndrome and how they have this glorious way of showing their love by hugging and kissing when other children sort of stand back at a distance. Maybe that's what he was seeing, he thought. Something like Beauty and the Beast with characters so unattractive, but so beautiful in their love. Well, Fred wanted to talk to that pastor. So when the service was over, Fred lingered by the door there in the little narthex. And thinking maybe he could have lunch with the pastor. And as he stood there, he watched the preacher greeting people with hellos and words of respect and caring and love. And one woman, he said, in her 70s, took his hand and said, "Oh, Pastor, I wish I could have known your mother." And Fred thought, "And so do I." He said, "I wanted to know where this gift of his had come from." And he said, "I heard the pastor say to that woman, 'My mother's name is Grace.'" And when everybody had gone, Fred spoke to the pastor for a few moments, and he said, "That was an unusual response you gave to that woman. You said, 'My mother's name is Grace.'" And the preacher said, "It is. When I was born," he said, "I was put up for adoption at the Department of Family Services, but as you can see, nobody wanted to adopt me. So I went from foster home to foster home, and when I was about 16 or 17, he said, "I saw some young people going into a church, so I went in, and there I met Grace, the grace of God. Because they told me there that God loved me, that God loved me so much that God gave his only begotten son. 'You are precious and beloved,' they said." And Fred said, the giant turned to him and said, "Mister, that was the night I was born." Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's who you are. You are people of grace, the body of Christ, the welcoming, loving, embracing arms of Jesus Christ. Oh, church, remember, wherever and with whomever you may be, remember who you are, people born of grace. And that grace becomes most real when you share it with others. Amen.